This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a three-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And now, KC Johnson.
Kobe White, pull up three over Caris LeVert and nails it.
Chicago Bulls insider from Chicago Sports Network.
I've covered the NBA for a long time.
KC Johnson with Mully and Haw.
Bulls.
On 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Always a delight to talk to our friend KC Johnson. He does such a great job covering the Bulls. And obviously you can find him at Chicago Sports Network. And he joins us now on The Score Hotline, brought to you by Aturo, your all-weather tire, aturo.com. Marty, KC, how are you?
Hey, guys, what's going on?
We're watching the Bulls, and we're having fun watching them, but everybody is kind of waiting to determine if, I guess, last night would be considered a good loss. You know, they did a lot of things. You saw some guys performing well, and yet they managed to lose, which is always apparently what everyone wants. I always struggle with it.
Yeah, and the Nets lost, Raptors lost, and 76ers lost, so... Still have that 1.5 game lead for the 10th seed. I think it's pretty – I mean, obviously there's a lot of basketball left, but I'm fully assuming the Bulls will be in the play. It just seems like it's the new number 7 pick in the draft lottery. That's for the old heads out there. Remember when the Bulls had, like, Wendell Carter, Kobe White, and Lauri Markkanen at 7 3 years in a row? It's like the Bulls just seem destined to be in the play-in, but – A lot of positives to take away in terms of individual play, but yes, came up short at the end.
Do you think Billy Donovan's ever going to snap when asked about this, when talking about this, when addressing the reality that bothers a lot of us, that when the Bulls lose, people are happy and not outwardly rooting for that, but trying to be cognizant of the fact that that improves their draft positioning? Do you think Billy Donovan, the consummate competitor, or has he already, Casey, and we just haven't seen it? Because I think he's been incredibly patient and clear in addressing all of it.
No, I think that's his best, or at least one of his best attributes. He is one of the most remarkably consistent, upbeat personalities and professional personalities I've been around in this game. That's just who he is. Great face of the organization and franchise in terms of delivering a message and being positive and consistent. And players tell me the same thing. I mean, like, he is, like, just remarkably consistent with his approach. So he gets it. He also, I will say this, like, this is a separate part to this, but, like, he has a ton of respect for our profession and what we do. And if you think about it, I mean, he's been a head coach since he was 29. He's been doing press conferences for, like, three decades.
Yeah.
And then obviously some as a player too. So, I think this is where you're going to get the rest of the season. And he gets it. He completely understands it. He's just not going to coach to lose. No coach is. And so you have to respect that as well.
I really like Billy. And we've had a chance to talk to him a little bit. And he's really a good dude. And, you know, he's a great guy. You get the sense that, like, if he was doing a long drive somewhere, he could just be on the phone talking hoops. You know, he's got that kind of – that gym rat mentality, if you will. I really enjoy hearing him break down games. Wanted to ask you about Josh Giddey. Obviously, we're following him, and another good game for him, although too many turnovers, and that's been a problem for him. But I love your what you tweeted out, that he has a signed Clippers jersey from Ben Simmons in his locker. Ben Simmons, nobody really wants much to do with him, but the reality is that he's from Melbourne. What did he tell you? Giddey said he was 13 and he went to a camp that Ben Simmons had. I just think it's like it's a very funny thing to think about him growing up. I mean, his folks were players, right? And he learned the game in part by attending a Ben Simmons camp. Hilarious. Good on you. Did we lose KC?
Yeah, we dropped.
He hung up when I brought up the Australian.
No more talk about Josh Giddey.
Giddey has Ben. I mean, you don't want to be Ben Simmons, is my point. But that's one of the guys he's looked up.
He would not be the guy I would think a lot of NBA players would want to either emulate or be associated with.
But if you grew up in Melbourne, you probably
would be. Yeah, it's a different perspective altogether.
KC, did we lose you? Sorry about that. I thought you hung up.
Back.
You probably
I'm
hung
back,
up because I was asking you the dumb question. But I love that connection.
What was the connection? I missed
Ben Simmons. Giddey,
I mean,
hilarious.
It was cool. We got let into the locker room, and we were waiting for players to be ready to talk to us. And I just noticed that there was a jersey sitting in Josh's chair, and couldn't really tell what it was until I realized it was folded up, until I realized it was a Clippers jersey, and so immediately realized it was Ben Simmons. I mean, you know, there aren't a lot of dudes from Melbourne, Australia in the NBA. So I asked Josh about it, and he gave great sound, saying that he attended a camp of Ben's when he was a teenager, 13, 14 years old, and obviously looked quite a bit up to him at the time, and then they've stayed close and gotten even closer since Josh has been in the NBA, and he said he's just always rooting for a guy like that. So pretty cool story for sure.
So KC, one Zach era ends, another begins. LaVine out, Collins in. What do the Bulls have in this big man?
Well, he's I'll say this about him, like, he's really skilled. You can just see he knows how to play. I actually just without even I was thinking this yesterday morning. I was like, I wonder what his assists per 36 minutes are. Now, obviously, he's not. I'm not saying he's Nikola Vucevic, but I was like, he seemed like a kind of guy, you know, just the way he reads the floor and you can run offense for me, just seems to make the right decision. I bet you his assists per 36 minutes are close to Vucevic's. I looked it up. They're identical. It was crazy. Now, obviously, he hasn't played the years and the minutes that Vucevic has, but he just looks really comfortable out there. And this may seem like a small thing, but it isn't for an undersized team. Even with Vucevic, who obviously is much taller than me, when I'm talking to him, I don't feel like the guy is towering over me. And Vucevic is the tallest guy on the team. This dude, he's a beast. He's very large and very physical. And, they have three centers that are all playing at a high level. I mean, Jalen Smith, pre-concussion, has played his backup role to perfection, come in and hit threes. So I don't know what they're going to do when all three of them are healthy. I just know Zach Collins, to me, deserves to play. Now that he's fully healthy, he battled injuries early in his career. He can play. He knows how to screen. He knows how to pass. He knows how to rebound, obviously. He's not going to score 21 points every game, but I'm in the way he's played to this point.
It is. It's kind of wild to think about that trade, and at least for one night, like, everyone made a big contribution, right? We've seen Herter; he's getting better. Looks like he can knock down some shots. Certainly had a big game. It was the Zach Collins game. We even saw Jones for a second or two. It seemed like he flashed by and had 16 points or something.
Yeah, and a lot of it just in transition or on layups. I mean, he 7 for 9 from the field. So, yeah, all three. Well, Herter didn't shoot it as well last night in Philadelphia, but all three of those guys. You know, that was actually a big post game theme of our questioning was just how quickly the three players have assimilated with the style of play. And I've talked to all three of them separately about fitting in with new players. And, you know, they talked about just it being an unselfish group and that part being pretty easy. So you're right. I mean, that said, and I know you're having a little bit of fun with it, but, like, I mean, you can see how exposed this team has been offensively at times without Zach, because he just commanded so much
right
defensive attention and made things so much easier for other people. Now, obviously, the last two games, the ball's gone in at a really good clip, but they've also struggled at times since his trade.
So, Casey, I think last night the Bulls set a record, team record, for a single season in three-point shots made.
Wow.
Is that the good news or the bad news? Is this shift in the style of play been overall a good thing? And the way that they are doing everything offensively, is that been something that you think has been a successful shift?
100%. I mean, okay. Especially because for two reasons. It's not coming off of bad shots or isolation. I mean, their assist numbers have been fantastic all season. So it's coming off the ball moving, guys giving up good shots for great shots, ball going side to side, Bulls playing fast, and most importantly, Bulls playing modern NBA basketball. I mean, how many times did we ask about being a math problem last season, where the Bulls would, you know, have similar field goal attempts and makes, but lose because they got out, you know, shot by 25 points from the three-point line. Well, I guess that's not possible because 25 can't be divided by three, but 24 points from the three-point line. But, you know, it's like this is what the league is now. So it absolutely has been a success. And like I said, most importantly, it's a success because it has come off of good reads, good passes, and good assist numbers. So, how many times have you watched the Bulls lose and have it be an entertaining game? I think last night was another example of that. I mean, that was a fun game to watch last night.
Yeah.
And I applaud their style of play.
I saw that Adrian Wojnarowski, now that he's out of the NBA, he is selling the phones he used to drop his Woj bombs, and he's selling, like, his press conference stuff. You know, he's trying to raise money for his alma mater because he's now working there at St. Bonaventure. What about you, Casey? Would you ever get some of those old tapes out and get some of your recorders and your phones and start putting them out there online? I broke this story with this phone. It sounds like a plan.
My mind went so many different directions when you were saying that. And for some reason, it ended up on who was the dude? Was it... I mean, because you're talking about, like, old school journalism now, right?
Yeah,
I mean, like,
yeah.
The tapes, right?
Exactly. So, but, it's what he's
then
doing.
I started thinking of, like, old school stuff. Was there anything more old school than, I think, was it? It was Gleason, yeah. Gleason drinking the Line and Kugel and the tube sock on
That was classic.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, of course. I remember sitting there with Bill.
I'm surprised it was Line and Kugel.
Or Kenny slipping a beer to Bill Joust occasionally.
Line and Kugel is a little too modern for Gleason.
Yeah, that's so funny.
Yeah. In the tube sock. It was
that fantastic. Was in the tube sock. It was awesome. Yeah, it was really old-time journalism.
You couldn't get money for that. You couldn't get any money for my tapes or iPhones. You get the money for that.
See, I got a box. I got a shoe box full of Michael Jordan tapes. Like, literally everything that I talked to him about for 2.5 years.
Should bring
years.
Those in. There should be a market for that.
Yeah, I wonder if
there would
be.
Definitely bring that in. I'm sure we can.
I don't have any love letters from him, sadly.
Yeah. Very fun. Would the device that you need to play those tapes on exist?
I think I have a couple of them. I don't know.
I don't think that they do.
Remember that? The batteries? You'd have you'd be reaching over the crowd with it. Very funny. The problem is that all the TV guys started really monitoring everything he was saying, so you had to quote him absolutely
and then,
correctly.
And then
you
eventually,
just take notes.
Everybody was a TV guy.
Guilty as charged, baby.
Casey, back to the Bulls for a moment, if we can.
Sorry.
What's the next expected news on Patrick Williams? And is there have we reached a point where it's just going to be shutting him down for the season?
Fair question. I haven't got that sense yet, but am I going to be surprised if that we get there? Not, absolutely not. And very disappointing, not only, you know, for what has happened on the court, but for him off the court to have another season marred by this. I mean, obviously he missed 10 games early this season to rest the foot. Just to be here again is really troubling for a guy that's in the first year of a 5-year deal. But I have not got that sense yet, you know, but we're not even at the two, I guess we're going to come close to the 2-week mark, and that's just for the reevaluation period. So he's going to be out considerably past the 2 weeks. And like you said, it could come into play with your scenario you're presenting right now.
Yeah. I mean, listen, it's tough. You got to wonder though, when you look at Josh Giddey, his contract, you know, I have changed my mind about him. I think that when Zach left, he's kind of like last year, Zach got hurt, whatever. Kobe took over, right? And you started seeing Kobe. It feels like Josh Giddey, all of a sudden, since the break, understands that his contract is expiring, and if he's going to stay here, he's got to play better. But he still had 5 turnovers last night.
Yeah, I would just say this about Giddey. Obviously, he's played phenomenally since the break. But I don't think you can let one stretch change your overall philosophy. And from everything I've been told, and I've reported this on the network, I think that they've learned from the Williams situation. I know that to be proactive and to give that kind of deal. Again, I'm not as hung up on the $18 million a year for Patrick. I'm more hung up on the 5 years and the player option. And I think the Bulls are well positioned to play a little more hardball with Giddey. Now that said, I fully expect Giddey to be back. I'm not saying that they're not going to let him walk for nothing, but I think that they're going to be a little bit more like, hey, you want to beat this number? You go get an offer sheet. And there's just not a lot of teams with cap space out there. So we'll see how it plays out. But I don't think you can let a 3-game hot stretch, and obviously that could continue, but I don't think that can let that change your overall philosophy entering restricted free agency.
What's your best guess at the number, whether it's the size of the contract or the average per season?
Yeah, I'm probably more guess the average per season, and it's 22, 24, somewhere in there. I don't think it's going to be 30, and I don't think it's going to be 20. So some probably if you're going to be hardball, maybe on the low end of the 20s, and I'm guessing, but it's an educated guess.
I was talking about 17. I'm way off. That's awesome. Good for
him. I'm not saying I'm right either, you know?
No, you're probably right. I'm just saying.
I don't have Michael Jordan tapes in my garage.
That's true. Those things have probably rotted out.
Hey, Casey, before we let you go, we unfortunately had the death of Gene Hackman overnight, and 95 years old, passed away. And I'm just curious, from a basketball perspective, I know you're not a college basketball guy. I have no idea about how you feel about high school basketball, but I think
let's ask it this way. I think we have that cut from him in Hoosiers, right? We can play that for you, Casey, and tell us if it fires you up or not. How's that sound?
Okay, let's play that.
Let's play the Hoosiers cut. We got it all lined up for you.
Forget about the crowds, the size of the school, their fancy uniforms, and remember what got you here. Focus on the fundamentals that we've gone over time and time again. And most important, don't get caught up thinking about winning or losing this game. If you put your effort and concentration into playing to your potential, to be the best that you can be, I don't care what the scoreboard says at the end of the game, in my book, we're going to be winners.
Now, Casey, I've never asked you this, so I'm afraid that I don't know the answer, but you did like that movie, yes?
Okay, I'm not going to disappoint you. In fact, I'm going to maybe surprise you. Not only did I like that movie, the Bulls had shoot-around at Butler's
Hinkle.
At Hinkle Fieldhouse this year. And Julia Poe and I, Julia from the Chicago Tribune, obviously, got there early just to take the tour. This is a self-guided historic tour, including the part about where they filmed Hoosiers there. And she and I both had a moment. I mean, that is the best basketball movie of all time, in my opinion. So there you go.
I love it.
Yeah, and Gene Hackman, one of the greatest American actors of all time.
No doubt about it.
No question.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. Hinkle Fieldhouse, special place.
It is.
Yeah. They got don't they have a TV with the tape of it on as you go through the tour? Yeah. I've taken
absolutely.
That tour. Thank you, Corey McFerrin, our buddy.
Yep. Butler grad.
Yeah.
He's a Butler grad.
Swimmer.
Great stuff, KC.
College athlete. Great stuff,
Thanks
KC.
For having me on, guys. Appreciate
Thank
it.
You, buddy.
All right. See you guys.
That's our guy, KC Johnson.
I love that he loved that movie. I wasn't sure, but
David,
I was afraid to ask.
I mean,
I know people that are kind of like
who?
You.
Who? What? What human didn't enjoy that movie?
It's definitely the top three sports movies of all time.
It's a great movie.
The best basketball movie of all time.
There was a moment at one time in the history of this show that the person sitting next to me in this room had never seen, not this person, but the person at that time sitting next to me had never seen that movie.
Oh.
And I thought that might be a reason for a day off.
Yeah, I think that's probably good. That should be a prerequisite.
He also lived in the state of Indiana, this person.
That should be a prerequisite.
Wow.
It's a great movie. And Gene Hackman, as you said, terrific actor. That was one of his best roles ever. Normandale.
Popeye Doyle. But
okay.
Okay. I mean, he's a great actor in thousands of movies. And
the fictional town Hickory.
Oh, yeah.
It was really based on Milan, the Milan Miracle.
Bobby Plump,
1954. In Indiana, that was, everybody knows that. You learn that in the fourth grade. And there's this SAT question on, you know, basketball, all kinds of things. Yeah, it's a sad loss.
I saw that movie at the Chicago Theater. The Chicago Theater, think about that.
You saw that there?
It was like a,
oh my gosh.
It was a preview, like special before it opened.
Right.
And somehow, as I think I was covering high schools or something, we got an invitation. And I went with Bill Fiegel, and we saw that movie. And I mean, you want to talk about what a great movie, especially Bill is like a real basketball junkie. It was phenomenal. It was just so much fun to see that movie.
Everybody, I grew up in Indiana, wanted to be Jimmy Chitwood.
And it holds up.
I'll make it.
You run the picket fence. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.
What's the greatest hockey movie of all time?
Miracle.
Yeah.
Dude.
It's hard to top
one.
That.
We watched it before the Canada game, too. In the first one, we had like six of us in like a, it was almost like we're back to like youth hockey.
Yeah.
We had six guys all in my
crammed in a room.
Just watching that. Miracle. And it was so awesome.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. We were talking about the great sports movie and the death of the American legend, the actor Gene Hackman, and a really strange story. He and his wife and his dog, they all perished in some
overnight,
some kind of
their house.
Accident.
You just wonder, the police are investigating. We don't know the details yet. Yeah. It's just a sad,
very sad,
sad ending for a great man and his family. You know, just terrible.
No, it's awful. And anyway, so that is the Kelce brothers. They had the Tkachuk brothers on their podcast, and you hear, what's the greatest hockey movie? And everyone knows Miracle is as good a hockey. I mean, what's one, Youngblood? What's the movie?
It's Miracle by a mile. Okay.
I'm just saying.
Miracle by
a mile. There are other hockey movies. Slapshot's up there, buddy.
Different type of movie, though.
It's right there.
You know? But one you're going for kind of a laugh. The other one you're taking part in remembering history.
And the idea that the U.S. team, they got six guys crammed in a hotel room watching the movie Miracle the night before they're playing Canada, the night before the historic victory over Canada. I get it. They lost the other game in overtime, so they didn't get the championship. But they beat them.
They
made a statement.
Yeah.
And in like, you hear the guy who's doing the most talking from the Tkachuks is Brady, who was watched that movie, heard the big speech, and then the next day, 9 seconds into the game, he's punching the guy
out.
Wanted
to go hit somebody.
I love that.
That's an effective movie.
I love that.
Yeah, and I love that he shared that because these guys are doing a lot of talking, the Tkachuks. Matthew Tkachuk doing more talking than playing because
he's out for a while.
I know.
That's too bad. That's another problem, I suppose, with this tournament is you got a couple guys that are out for a long time. So
trade deadline next Friday. Mm. You wonder about the Panthers being active because of Matthew Tkachuk's injury. You wonder what the Hawks are going to do. But you're right about the movie Miracle. It was one of those things. What Hoosiers is to basketball fans, mm-hmm. Miracle is to hockey fans. No doubt about it.
Yeah, it's one of those movies, one of those great. You know what else is a really good movie? I don't know if you've ever seen. What's the one with, it's Vision Quest, I believe. It's like it's a wrestling movie.
Yeah.
Good sports movie. There is a great speech in that.
Madonna has a soundtrack.
Madonna has a song in that.
Crazy for You.
Yeah. That was probably right in your wheelhouse of Madonna love.
Totally. It was right up there. Thank you, Molly. Trip down memory lane. I love Madonna.
But I'm just saying, there are great movies for every sport. It's a wonderful thing to have that. And there,
oh, baseball has so many to choose from.
Oh, there's
just, it's just.
I mean, you know. What's the Lou Gehrig movie? That's a great movie. That's from like the 1950s or something. I mean, fantastic stuff. Baseball has ton. Baseball also has a ton of great literature. There are people who have written about.
Are you talking about the Pride of the Yankees?
Pride of the Yankees, yeah. Great movie.
Okay,
whoever did that movie is very famous. I just can't think of the name of the director. Was it? You know, I can't remember. I don't want to say anything. But Pride of the Yankees, one hell of a movie.
It starred Gary Cooper.
Gary Cooper
was in that movie.
That's the speech and the whole, you know, yeah. Luckiest Man. Come on, who doesn't love that stuff?
It's great stuff. Great sports movies.
Yeah.
How about Rudy? Is that a sports movie that's considered great?
Of course, it's a sports movie.
All right, so make sure.
Rudy's a great movie, and by all accounts, he made that movie no matter what, and he really, it was worthy of a movie about how he convinced everyone to make the movie, not just the moment.
That's a sequel.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a
Rudy
sequel.
2.
Rudy 2.
It's Rudy running around forcing everyone to make his movie.
The Kachucks, though, that was a good interview. Kachucks being interviewed by the Kelce.
It was awesome.
Yeah, football's brother tandem, hockey's brother tandem.
Yeah, it's good stuff all the way around.
I even enjoyed that, knowing my feelings and kind of reticence about the Kelces and overexposure. I still enjoyed that one. I thought that interview was well done.
Is that because there was Taylor Swift songs in the background, like the Madonna in the movie?
Would that be a tough one? No, that's not why.
No?
But
okay.
Back in the day, I think I probably liked Madonna every bit as I came to like Taylor. Yeah, I think Madonna music, I was a big Madonna fan. You know that.
I know. And I think that she has a catalog of songs and been around a long time.
I
think Taylor Swift songs, she's more prolific.
I'd give her a slight nod.
Yeah.
I'd give her a nod historically.
But
Madonna changed. A lot about the culture, as well as, you know, Taylor's giving credit. Very similar.
Hi, Madonna, over this way. There you go.
I did not have a less moment. I didn't actually ask.
I was there
Madonna
when that happened.
Question.
Okay, yeah. I was standing there.
I wasn't that far behind you.
I know.
Yeah, I remember that.
It's hilarious.
It was great, and she was terrific. Saw her in concert a couple times.
Oh my God, that's hilarious.
I've seen her in concert more than I've seen probably Taylor Swift in concert.
Really?
Maybe so.
Well, yeah, I mean, Taylor Swift costs too much to go to.
Right now, yeah.
Like, I mean, I'm just saying.
Take a second and third jobs.
Difficult to get tickets.
Right. Second mortgage.
So what's the problem?
I have a nephew, not making this up. He and his girlfriend, she loves Taylor Swift.
Uh-huh.
They flew to Warsaw and saw her there because it was cheaper than going to Indianapolis.
That's not that uncommon, really.
I'm not making
that
up.
In that genre, that group, subset of people in fandom, I know people, I probably 3 to 5 people that I know personally or know people who know somebody who did the same thing.
I know. It's crazy, man. It's
they would spend whatever they spend on a plane ticket and hotel accommodations just so they could see a concert that is more affordable.
I wanna go see Bob Dylan because he's on that Never Ending Tour. He doesn't really sing any of his lyrics, but he just kind of plays every song. They have the band playing the song, and then he sings whatever he wants to. I don't know how good the concert are, but I'd love to see Dylan one more time on that Never Ending Tour.
Well, it's never ending, so you have plenty of time.
Didn't we give away tickets?
Yes, we
did.
At Alpine Valley, right?
Yeah.
We could have scored you a couple. No?
Can you still?
I'll try to get some.
You were the one doing the reads. You got all the power.
Ask Mitch.
You have to ask Mitch. Mitch is a ticket broker around here.
That's true.
You don't want to go around that.
No, I never have.
There's definitely a protocol if you want to get tickets around here, and you better not breach it, or else you might not get them again.
No.
You're kind of a goofball. What was that line? What was the great Mitch cut we play? You're a bit of a. That was one. It was when we were doing the score thing.
Wackadoodle, right? Was it wackadoodle?
No, what's his favorite term? Wackadoodle, is that it? God.
I don't remember that.
You got Fryer over here searching.
Yeah, he's looking for it. He's got Brandon doing all the hard work. God bless.
Can I tell you one thing while we're searching for the drop about the oddest quirky sports stories yesterday that kind of bugged me?
Yeah, let's hear it.
The Big Ten announced that Northwestern's women's basketball team, and we don't talk college women's basketball a lot, and we don't talk women's basketball a lot, but this bothered me. Northwestern's women's basketball team had to forfeit games against USC and UCLA. Officially, they go down as losses because the Northwestern women's basketball team chose not to fly to Southern California. The way I understand the story, they chose not to fly to Southern California to play UCLA and USC during the wildfires in Southern California. There was safety concerns, air quality, whatever the case may be. They chose not to go, so now they are forfeits.
Well, that's absurd, frankly, because that's not fair. That's a safety issue as far as I'm concerned. And if I'm a parent, I don't want my son or my daughter to get on a plane and fly into these wildfires. I mean, there were that wildfire stuff. There were a few days there where it was like really scary stuff.
It's a very serious, catastrophic situation.
And it still is, man. There are like blocks of houses burned down. And the idea of like people moving back there and not getting insurance, the home insurance is through the roof because there could be another one of these things. It's awful, man.
January 12th against UCLA, January 15th against USC. The university cited, quote, concerns surrounding ongoing wildfires affecting the greater Los Angeles area. In what seemed to be a responsible decision at the time and even now, cost them two victories?
Yeah, that's super bizarre.
I just don't know.
You know, they're not running from playing USC and UCLA. They're trying to protect the kids so they don't get in the middle of a wildfire.
USC and UCLA are top five rated teams in women's college basketball.
Right, of course.
And obviously Northwestern is not, and they're having not a great season. I think they're 9-17. This is not going to affect them one way or another in terms of a tournament bid. That's not the point. The point is the statement that the statement makes. It's you're telling people don't make responsible decisions. Because if you do, there'll be consequences.
Well, what's interesting is I'm looking at the standings right now, the Big Ten women's standings. So I'm not a couple things. So they're 2-15 in the conference, but they're on a streak of losing two. And I'm wondering, is that the streak? Like, is that part of the streak? Like, did they check off? I mean.
I guess technically the losses would be the January 12th and January 15th, though.
They go under that,
probably
that time frame?
Mm-hmm. I would think that would be the case.
How does that impact their place in the tournament?
There's some ramifications there.
In the Big Ten women's tournament?
Yeah.
Well, listen, they're going to have to play every game. They're the only Penn State is worse than them in the conference with one
and
win.
Northwestern issued its own statement by the new athletic director Mark Jackson, saying they accept the decision by the Big Ten. They acknowledge bylaws are in place for a reason. They'll abide by them, but it does not diminish the team's sound reasoning for not participating during this natural disaster. We'll continue to support women's basketball student athletes and hope for a strong recovery for the Southern California region. That's exactly the right thing to say, and was the right move. It's beyond me how a conference could act that way.
I mean, I get it. I think you just say that those games weren't played. That would be a better way of handling it, as opposed to throwing around W's. And there are like air quality issues that were going on in California at that time.
It's insane. It almost goes without saying, Molly. You should not even have to say it. The Big Ten's next statement should be an apology for embarrassing itself.
I agree. But on the flip side, just when we're talking about conference standings and whatnot, UCLA and USC are both 16-1 in the conference.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So I'm just saying, I'm assuming this now reflects based on what was said. So I'm just saying, they were probably two losses anyway.
But with due respect, it should not the standings, the rankings, the seedings, none of that stuff in the context of what we're talking about here should even factor in at all. It's a result of the decision, and you move on and you deal with it. But
so they
that
should both be 15-1, right?
Whatever. Yeah.
Like,
but it's like they were never scheduled. They should treat it like they were never on the schedule. There's no ramification. You just
play like two less games. Almost,
you just pluck off the schedule because
you agree. I agree with you.
You have to react in common sense in real time.
That's exactly correct.
What are you telling? What kind of statement is that?
Yeah, maybe next year they play a doubleheader. Get those reps in.
Ugh. All right, right now you can be the sixth caller to the Scores Contest line, 312-540-0670. Win a pair of tickets that we're talking about. You can be part of our studio audience. Cubs Dodgers, they're in Tokyo. We'll be in the Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois performance stage and room. Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois through it all. 5 a.m. March 18th. You can stick around for a special broadcast of our special show, the post-game show, at the conclusion of the Cubs broadcast.
We've never been preemptive before, right? Nobody has ever held a sporting event
it's
that
history.
Would get in our way.
We've
it is a big moment.
We've done some live Olympic updates before, right?
That's
World
right.
Cup, World Cup games were going on.
Right, we've done that.
We were live.
We've had our buddy Bobby Vasilopoulos call in at 6 in the morning or something from some site that he's been covering the Olympics from.
Right, and we will have an opportunity during the broadcast. We are preempted. I guess that means I'm not doing play-by-play.
You know, that would be, how about that? That the gift we will give to our listeners is an inning of David.
No, I don't want to do that.
What do you mean? What do you mean no one's calling?
I don't want to.
Hey, knock it off.
Single to right field. Down second. Oh, he's going to second. He's going to try it for third. He's safe.
Come on. That's world class stuff.
That's okay. It's not like as good as that Spiegel guy.
Yeah, no. I mean, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how that all works out with Craig Counsell. All right, we've got, I believe, Dan.
Dan
is
and
here?
Marshall, yeah.
Marshall is
it's
here.
It's Thursday.
And who's he with? Dan?
Yes.
Is that, it was, someone texted in earlier and said that he loved the talk about the movie Hoosiers, but Dan was going to come in at 9:50 and just kind of
warn me now.
Get ready, David.
Thank you for the warning.
It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.